Last week I got or a couple weeks ago, I got an email from a young lady that I know from a parish that I was at when I was in Lincoln. And she told me of another woman that was that has cancer, and she was just put on hospice care, and she was she had gone home from the hospital to be on hospice care with her family. And so she told me that she would probably like to see me. This lady that has cancer, I had gotten to know her when I was at Cathedral, and it was right after she was first diagnosed about maybe 6 years ago or so that she had cancer. And so we had an opportunity to visit on a number of different occasions, just about her illness and about how to deal with it. And during the last 5 years or so since I've been here, I had an opportunity to see her once or twice, just to kind of see how things were going for her. And so as I was going home last Sunday to visit my parents for the 4th of July weekend, I stopped in Lincoln just to kind of see. I called her up and asked her if I could stop over, and she said sure. And just to kind of see how she was getting along and to see how she was doing. And it's really very, she knows that she's, the doctors can't do anymore, that she knows that she's going to die. And so she's been spending the last few weeks just making plans for her funeral and for different things like that, which is kind of a difficult thing to do, you know, obviously. And one of the things that I was really struck by as we visited was just her great devotion and her love of God and of the Blessed Mother, but also her resignation to the will of God. She isn't angry or she isn't bitter about her condition. Obviously, you know, it's not something that she would prefer or that she wants. You know, she's got two young children, but she just realizes that somehow this is bound up with God's holy will for her, and so she's been able to come to terms with that and to be able to accept it. And I remember as she was going through the chemotherapy and different things like that, it's a very painful process, and it's something that, you know, there were certain days where she got really, really ill and she got sick from it. And it was hard. And now at the end, she's able to keep the pain at bay with medicine and things like that. But we really, at a certain point, we really come to understand and to know the frailty of our own human existence, and that there are just there are certain limits to modern medicine, and there's just certain things that cannot be cured. But St. Paul speaks to us of this, speaks to us about our human condition and our human frailty in the second reading today. He says, "We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." We also groan within ourselves. So what St. Paul is reminding us of is that this life is, there are going to be trials and there are going to be difficulties. There are going to be sufferings that we experience. And we know that because Jesus himself experienced those things. And he said, if you want to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross and follow me. So we recognize that at certain times we are going to groan within ourselves. That there are going to be things that we experience. Maybe it's an illness, maybe it's something like cancer, maybe we've been sinned against in some way, and we groan within ourselves as we suffer that, as we await the redemption of our bodies. But the point that St. Paul is making is that these sufferings that we experience now can take on a redemptive nature. He says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed to us. That the little things that we undergo in this life, the trials and the sufferings, they're really in comparison to the glory of heaven, are really nothing. And sometimes that when we're in the midst of suffering, when we're groaning in those labor pains, it's hard to believe that. It's hard to understand how these things can be nothing, because that becomes our whole interior focus, that can become the only thing that we are able to think about. But as we suffer and as we await in hope and as we unite those sufferings to Jesus, it is then that they take on a new meaning and a new value. Because he goes on, for creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For all creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. So that as we unite ourselves to the love of Jesus Christ, as we suffer in union with Jesus Christ, the glory of God is revealed. As I was telling you about this lady, that it's amazing to see how the glory of God is revealed through her. Because she's, as I said, she's not bitter, she's not angry. It's not, why is this happening to me? How could this possibly happen? If God loved me, why would he allow me to have cancer? But in that acceptance of the will of God, may it be done unto me according to thy word, God's love is revealed. Because she has a tranquility and a peace about her that is something that only comes from God. And in that there is power, because, and I ask her for prayers because her prayers are powerful. Because as she enters more deeply into the cross, as she is united more deeply with Jesus through the power of the cross, her power for intercession also grows. And as she passes on to the next life, I know that she will be, I have a hope and a firm confidence that she will be close to Jesus. She'll be able to intercede, continue to intercede, those of us that remain here on earth. That reveals, that's a revelation of the power of God through suffering. And so for us, it's very important for us that we also have that attitude of acceptance of the cross in our lives. Because as I said before, if we reject the cross, if we reject the suffering, if we reject, what we're ultimately doing is we're rejecting discipleship. And if we reject discipleship, we're rejecting Jesus himself. And if we don't have Christ as the center and the core of our being, we're lost. Not only in this life, but in the next. We also groan within ourselves as we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And so as we continue on our journey, as we await for that adoption, we strive to have that attitude of Christ. May it be done unto me according to your will. And so when we can take on a share voluntarily, like we do during Lent, of mortifications, what those things do is as we voluntarily accept the cross and as we take on things in our life, it helps to prepare us for the things that we can't accept, or that we can't control. And so as we deny ourselves, maybe we fast once a week. You know, maybe we fast on bread and water, or maybe we eat a smaller amount than normal. Maybe we fast from radio or television or the computer or our cell phone. You know, all those things can be opportunities for us to deny ourselves for the sake of Christ. To groan, because it can be hard. It can be difficult. It's like, I don't want to do this. Oh, I want some more ice cream. And we groan. It's like, oh God, why can't I have more ice cream, please? You know, but we groan in pain as we await that. but it gets us ready. It helps us. It helps us to be able to wait and hope the redemption. Because then there are certain things that we can't control. There may be an illness we may be sinned against. But when we've mortified, when we've accepted that share of the cross, we can see those as part of God's plan for us. Just as Jesus was able to see his sufferings, in his sufferings, a part of the plan of the Father. And he was able to accept that and embrace that cross. Because as we embrace the cross, that's truly a sign of hope for us. That as we are united with Christ, that ultimately, all of us, our bodies, our souls, even all of creation, will share in that redemption. We groan within ourselves as we await for adoption. So as we continue in this life, and as we travel through this life, and as we encounter those sufferings that we are bound to experience, we want to accept that cross. And unite that cross to Jesus. Because as we accept that cross in our lives, it is truly then that we will understand it, and the glory of God will be revealed to us. Not only that, but we will be that instrument of the revelation of God. We will be able to communicate that life and that love to others. So let us really strive to think about those crosses that we have in our life. To think about how we can embrace them. So that as we groan within ourselves, as we await for that adoption, we will realize in our own lives the redemption of our bodies and souls.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.